Massive protests and unrest have shaken the nation of Turkey after President Erdogan arrested his political rival Ekrem. Erdogan was first elected Prime Minister of Turkey in 2003 and served in this role until 2014. He was subsequently elected President of Turkey in 2014 and continues to serve. The BBC writes of Erdogan, "Erdogan has been in power for more than 2 decades, first as Prime Minister, then as President from 2014. He cannot run again for the presidency after 2028, unless he changes Turkey's constitution. The protests and unrest in Turkey have erupted after Ekrem, who was favored to win the nomination of the opposition party Republican People's Party, CHP, was stripped of his university degree and arrested by the regime. The removal of his university degree disqualifies Ekrem from being able to secure the nomination of the CHP and the presidency under Turkish law. Ekrem's arrest has resulted in the arrest and intimidation of journalists by the regime. When Erdogan was first elected, he presented a hopeful vision to the West. His concept of a democracy rooted in Islamic values stood in stark contrast to the autocratic Islamic regimes of the Middle East. However, this model of a democratic Islamic state had shaky foundations, farther weakened by Erdogan's penchant for power. Following the 2013 Gezi Park protests, which unfolded against the backdrop of the Arab Spring, his regime adopted increasingly authoritarian undertones. This drive toward a more authoritarian state has been driven again by the attempted military coup in 2016, which saw over 40,000 individuals detained. The Arab Center Washington, D.C. had this to say regarding the present situation in Turkey. "Turkey now stands at a critical make-or-break moment. The opposition clearly recognizes that these actions aim to fundamentally change the nature of the political system. The degree of alarm is evidenced by large protests, not just in Istanbul, but across the country. The government likely did not anticipate such a strong response. The CHP, long criticized for its institutional inertia and reluctance to confront the regime, has found itself compelled by grassroots pressure to lead the current mobilization efforts. The coming weeks will determine whether Turkey preserves its remaining democratic features or completes its transition to authoritarianism. The stakes could not be higher for Turkish democracy and the broader region. The outcome of these protests and the actions of the regime will have significant ramifications for the broader region, including Ukraine, Syria, and Israel. These massive protests, with unconfirmed reports estimating close to 2 million in attendance, come at a time when Turkey has an increasingly complex relationship with Russia. Erdogan has a personal history of tension with Putin." In preparing this episode, I was reading Volume 29, Issue Number 1 of the Bible Magazine, going back to the year 2016, where a meeting between Putin and Erdogan was referenced. Putin was reported to have said, "The Russian and Turkish armies have friendly ties, and if necessary, we can in Moscow stage a swift military coup against you, unless you desist from your desperate acts of supporting violent Al-Qaeda terrorists and harboring the injured ISIS fighters inside Turkish territory. I can and will defeat you and your American master in Syria." Turkey has been a key player in the Ukraine-Russia conflict, where they have supplied armaments and munitions to Ukraine and driven negotiations between Ukraine, the US, and Russia. Turkey is also a member of NATO. Reading a quote from the Hudson Organization, "For Ankara, Ukraine is not an isolated conflict. It is part of a broader geopolitical contest with Moscow. Turkey and Russia have clashed across multiple fronts, from Libya to Syria to the Caucasus, and the nation's rivalry is now expanding into Africa. Russia seeks to farther entrench its paramilitary footprint as Turkey extends its political, military, and economic reach on the continent. mercenaries linked to the private military company Wagner operate in Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger, while Turkey engages with state-to-state partnerships, defense contracts, and infrastructure deals in the Sahel, offering what Moscow's mercenary-driven model cannot. And in the Red Sea, Ankara is deepening its presence in Sudan, while Russia eyes a naval base in the country. The Ankara-Moscow dynamic is a multi-theater balancing act, cooperative when convenient, combative when required, and always driven by a strategic calculus. But in Syria and Libya in particular, Turkey has dramatically exposed Russia's vulnerabilities. In Syria, Turkey has repeatedly clashed with Russian-backed forces. For instance, during the Syrian civil war, Turkish troops blocked a Russian Assadist offensive in Idlib. But the Russian military's position in Syria is increasingly exposed after Russia failed to save the Bashar al-Assad regime, and the Kremlin underestimated Israeli strikes on Hezbollah and Iranian proxies, which were essential to Moscow's control. By arming Ukraine with one hand and dealing with Russia on the other, Turkey has used strategic leverage to great effect. While the US and Europe debate their next move and fine-tuned aid packages, Turkey has kept Russia stretched thin across multiple fronts, a tactic Western capitals are unable or unwilling to employ. Despite Putin's warnings, Erdogan has continued to support the Al-Qaeda-associated rebel forces against the Russian-backed Assad regime, leading to the unexpected overthrowing of the regime and uncertainty as to the future of Syria. The Jerusalem Post reported on the uncertain situation in Syria and Turkey's involvement in it. This unexpected outcome has made Turkey pivotal in determining Syria's future, presenting both significant opportunities and formidable challenges. Central to these dynamics are Turkey's intricate relationships with the country's various armed factions. Among the various armed groups, HTS currently holds the upper hand, and the relationship between HTS and Turkey is likely to play a pivotal role in shaping Syria's future, as well as Turkey's influence in the region. Indeed, Turkey benefits from being the only country with established ties to the organization. This further complicates Turkey's often volatile relationship with Russia. In Syria, they have essentially stabbed Russia in the back, and they continue to fight against Russia in Ukraine. Erdogan has also been a strong critic of the Israeli war on the terrorist organizations Hamas and Hezbollah. Erdogan has said, "The Zionist regime has once again shown that it is a terror state that feeds on the blood, lives, and tears of the innocent with its brutal attacks on Gaza last night." And Israel has also responded with force in Syria, drawing ire from Turkey, destroying weapons and bases left behind by the Assad regime, and protecting the Christian Druze population in Syria. And this has caused escalating tensions between Turkey and Israel. Erdogan holds a grand vision for the future of Turkey, often called Erdoganism, or by critics, Neo-Ottomanism. Distrustful observers have deemed his civilizational rhetoric and aspirations Neo-Ottomanism, an reticent ideology that would supposedly see the return of old imperial lands to Turkey. Steve Bannon has described Erdogan as the most dangerous man in the world over his alleged desire to restore the Ottoman Empire. While Turkey faces protest and uncertainty, the word of God is clear about the future of Turkey and the Neo-Ottoman aspiration of Erdogan. We read in Revelation 16, verse 12, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." Rotherham offers a clearer translation. "The sixth poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way might be prepared of the kings who were from the rising of the sun. The area of the Euphrates was once occupied by the Ottoman Empire, including the land of Israel. The Ottoman Empire had to be dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the rising of the sun, which we recognize to be Christ along with the saints. The drying up of the Ottoman Empire has allowed for the establishment of the state of Israel in the conditions that we expect from the prophecies, such as Ezekiel 38, verse 8. After many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. And we can expect from these prophecies the continuation of the drying up of the Ottoman Empire, not the rise of a neo-Ottoman state. Although something will have to anger or tempt Russia enough to move against Turkey and take Constantinople to reunite Eastern and Western Rome, the way continues to be prepared for the coming of Zion's king.